Today finds us at this crossroads time. We're at the end of Thanksgiving weekend, our national day of celebrating family and food, of slowing down and making time to remember all that we have to be grateful for. Anybody else like me want to just take one more moment for that? I feel like I just want to hang on to Thanksgiving as long as I can. Just to hold this moment, this holy day that asks us only to be grateful. Thanks for that. And as you know already, it's the first Sunday in Advent, the start of the 4 weeks that lead up to Christmas. I don't know about you, but I'm not even ready to start thinking about that yet. For some reason this year, I especially need this time of preparation, of waiting and watching, wondering what might be unfolding in our midst. The hymn we just sang, "The Peace Not Past Our Understanding," feels so like Thanksgiving to me, with its description of peace as like light falling on a soft white tablecloth, like careless noon, the houses lighted late, harvest and holiday, the people's peace. Who among us couldn't use a little more of that? The people's peace. And we also just sang a few minutes ago as we were entering into our prayer time that lovely and somewhat somber Advent hymn, "O Come, O Come, Emmanuel." Emmanuel is a Hebrew word that means God with us. It talks about the holy as not out there somewhere, but with us here in this world that we inhabit. Advent is about waiting for the coming of that presence, acknowledging that it's not here yet, but still waiting in hope and in expectation. I think Advent would have value if only to invite us to slow down and be more reflective in this time when there is increasing pressure to do more and to buy stuff. I love that we'll gather here on Wednesday nights for the next 4 Wednesdays to light candles and to be still and to wait and watch and reflect. And even if you're not able to come on Wednesdays, I hope that the knowledge that people are here doing that might make you glad, might make you think about a way to have that in your own life, might encourage you to create your own little time for being still and being open to the mystery in our midst. Our worship theme for this month of November has been home. And for December, our theme is God. And I sense that there is a crossroads, an overlap, an intersection, if you will, between those two themes, home and God. Last Sunday, if you were here, you will remember at the start of the service, we blessed little Hadley Manuel, who is a sweet and adorable and incredibly energetic little girl. She did not want to be pinned down to one place. And when we did that blessing at the start, I quoted William Wordsworth, who wrote, "Trailing clouds of glory do we come from God, who is our home." Here's a bit wider context to that verse. These words from William Wordsworth. "Our birth is but a sleep and a forgetting. The soul that rises with us, our life's star, hath had elsewhere its setting, and cometh from afar. Not in entire forgetfulness, and not in utter nakedness, but trailing clouds of glory do we come from God, who is our home. Heaven lies about us in our infancy. Wordsworth believed that life on this earth gradually closes us off from where we come from. That the older we get, the harder it is to sense that awe and mystery and wonder that seems to come so naturally to children. It's true, isn't it? Beset by the cares of daily living, we can forget about the so-called spirit world. We think that what we can see and touch and taste, well, that just might be all there is. And yet, there are times, aren't there, when you feel something tugging at you, when you catch a glimpse of something more, when you become aware of a larger presence in your midst, when you find yourself caught by some longing that you feel, though you may know nothing about it. Anybody know what I'm talking about, trying to talk about? And because you're human, you probably have at least a partial tendency to dismiss those longings. The same way any of us might want to cast off feelings of melancholy or homesickness. Because wouldn't we rather be surrounded and companioned by brighter moods? I would. But I also know that we throw away our treasure when we push away our longings, because I am convinced that our longings come to us to lead us where we are meant to go, to help us find our way home. If you sense that something is missing in your life, why wouldn't you go looking for it? The Bible puts it this way: ask and it will be given, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open for you. What if, rather than seeing our longings as painful things to be avoided, we understood them as guides to befriend and to follow? And what if you would imagine God not as a force above you or against you, not as apart from you or disapproving of you or judging you even, but rather as your home, as the home that you have always been seeking, that home that you are longing for? What if you thought of God as like that? Many of us have read C.S. Lewis, The Chronicles of Narnia, that great book that's for people of all ages, not just children, as well as many books he wrote about religion and spirituality. Listen to what he wrote in one of his books about longing. He said, "It was when I was happiest that I longed most. The sweetest thing in all my life has been the longing to reach the mountain, to find the place where all the beauty came from, my country, the place where I ought to have been born. Do you think it all meant nothing, all the longing for home?" The promise of Christmas is that the holy is not just out there somewhere, but that it is very near us, right here in our midst. God with us, Emmanuel. But you know, our culture has turned this invitation to seek after that mystery into just the opposite. There's all this pressure to make ourselves so busy with buying and decorating and making merry that we can miss the true holiness of this season. I wonder, is all our running around, getting ready for Christmas, is it because we're afraid that there's an emptiness at the center of our lives? Our heartache and our longing can frighten us. And so rather than getting to know those darker emotions, do we try to push away that pain and emptiness with lights and presents and lists of things to do? To the point that for some of us, Christmas becomes something to get through, to endure, rather than an invitation to a more abundant life. That's what it's supposed to be about, right? Aware of this fundamental disconnect, about 10 years ago, several pastors started something they call Advent Conspiracy. You can Google it. It's worth checking out. Their intent is to resist the cultural Christmas narrative of consumption and advocate for what they call a revolutionary Christmas, reminding us that the Christmas story is a story of love, hope, redemption, and relationship, that it's not supposed to be about stuff, stress, and debt. They identify four ways to make this change: worship fully, spend less, give more, love all. What would happen if we practiced these four things? One, worship fully. However you imagine worship, you could do it anywhere, but this is a pretty good place. You could commit to coming here, and I'm preaching to the choir, I know, you're here. You can come to Vespers on Wednesday nights at 6 if you're available to. This is a great time to think about starting a daily practice of prayer or meditation, to just practice opening your heart to the present moment, to be mindful of how you go through your day. You know, the Vietnamese Buddhist monk Thich Nhat Hanh, he talks about this, just walking through the world, saying peace is every step. You can worship while you're walking down the sidewalk. Number two, spend less. Question all the advertising that comes your way this month that's telling you that how much you spend is related to how much you love your family and friends. Have conversations with them about how you really want to celebrate Christmas this year. Consider homemade gifts, which people are probably going to appreciate more too. Three, give more. With all the time you'll save not being stuck in traffic at the mall, you can afford to give the gift of your time. Make a meal for someone you love, or plan a visit with a friend you are missing these days. Remember that saying, people need our presence more than they need our presents, our gifts. Best gift you have is the gift of yourself, your presence. Finally, love all. This is something we should all be able to embrace easily as universalists. And in these days when some folks are feeling more vulnerable than ever, look for ways to reach out to those who need your love and support. Give some of the money that you didn't spend on Christmas presents this year to the poor, in this community and around the world, wherever you feel compelled to. What if we commit to carrying the best parts of Thanksgiving with us into this season of Advent? What if we continue to seek time with family and friends? What if we do a little bit less for a change and practice being grateful and kind and hospitable? What if we listen to our longings and see them as gifts and blessings? I hope in these coming days you'll remember C.S. Lewis's words, "Do you think it all meant nothing, all the longing for home?" My prayer for us in these days is that we will befriend our longings, that we will listen for them and try to follow where they lead, that we will experience them as gifts and blessings. And so here again, John O'Donohue's beautiful words about longing. I hope you hear them as a prayer for you in these days of Advent. Blessed be the longing that brought you here and quickens your soul with wonder. May you have the courage to listen to the voice of desire that disturbs you when you have settled for something safe. May you have the wisdom to enter generously into your own unease, to discover the new direction your longing wants you to take. May the forms of your belonging, in love, creativity, and friendship, be equal to the grandeur and the call of your soul. May the one you long for you. May your dreams gradually reveal the destination of your desire. May a secret providence guide your thought and nurture your feeling. May your mind inhabit your life with the sureness with which your body inhabits the world. May your heart never be haunted by ghost structures of old damage. May you come to accept your longing as divine urgency. And may you know the urgency with which God longs for you. My spiritual companions, in these days, let us be awake to what is moving in our midst. Let us trust that our longings are holy, that they are here to help us and to lead us home. Amen.